Welcome to Muthonomics episode 21. Hope everybody's having a wonderful week. Today I want to talk about something that I think our culture needs to hear, and it is specifically related to the focus on achievement that is happening in specifically the Instagram space. I see this message a lot on Instagram. And, you know, it's people that are really pushing for this idea of self-mastery and self-achievement. And it goes something like this right now, where it kind of reflects the lyrics from the Eminem song. I guess there's some song where Eminem says he bullies himself to make him do what he wants to do. And I think, you know, when I read history, when I read the history of certain entrepreneurs, certain inventors, certain scientists, certain innovators, there was a very, very strong driving motivation to want to achieve things, but the end result of achieving those things was to benefit other people. So a medical breakthrough that benefited people, a medical breakthrough that helped, you know, their fellow man. In fact, I was reading this week about a guy named Charles Drew, who was the inventor of the blood transfusion. He developed the way to store plasma. And during World War II, this saved numerous lives because people who were injured in battle and in need of blood were able to benefit from his achievements as it related to plasma storage and blood transfusions and the like. But when I look through Instagram, there's a lot of people taking selfie videos and bragging about how they're mastering themselves, but I'm having a hard time seeing where the tangible benefit to their fellow man is to be found. And I guess you could argue that the benefit is in the fact that they're encouraging their fellow human, their listeners, to master themselves and to achieve and discipline themselves. But I think there's a very obvious shift that seems to be solidifying in our culture, where we are detaching achievement from the service of others. And I think this is incredibly detrimental if you play it out in the long run, because if we're not benefiting others or serving others with our achievements, really we're just becoming these isolated vacuums and islands unto ourselves. And if you've ever seen Castaway, you know that being on an island unto yourself is not the best situation. I mean, Tom Hanks goes a little bit crazy in that movie near the end. He's talking to a volleyball. He's performing dental hygiene with ice skates in a cave. He's suicidal. It's just not a good setup. So I think we have to really pay attention to this, because it seems like the tide on this particular focus in achievement is gaining a little bit too much ground. And I think it's why it's resulting in so much, you know, I call it the hollow eyes. You know, it's like if everybody's so stinking happy and everybody's so fulfilled because of the fact that they're mastering themselves, why is it that so many people on their selfies seem to have these hollow eyeballs? They seem to be devoid of vibrancy. And it's just my guess that they're devoid of vibrancy because they're so internally focused that it's like the Dead Sea over in the Middle East. There's an inlet, but there's no outlet. And I think in terms of entrepreneurship and in terms of achievement, if we are only focused on achieving for ourselves and there's no service to others involved, it's not a good way to go about our lives and go about our business. So it's a challenge to entrepreneurs to look to, I think, reinvigorate the entrepreneurial landscape with a benefit to other people. And you go, well, isn't entrepreneurship all about just making money? Isn't entrepreneurship all about just capitalizing on what the free market wants? I guess in the most banal sense, you could argue that, but it seems to, it's like a self-licking popsicle. Eventually the popsicle is going to disappear and there's going to be nothing left to lick. And you go, what are you talking about? Well, think about the financial crisis of 2008. One of the reasons, one of the contributing factors to that whole housing crash and subprime lending nonsense was that there was no thought given to the benefit of other people. In large part, the people underwriting the loans and offering the financing, all they were concerned with was their transaction fee. So it, so long as they were getting their transaction fees, you know, damn whatever else could potentially go wrong. You know, don't even worry about, well, can these people afford it? There was no thought given to the longer term well-being or longer term benefit of many people involved in that. It was all about just me ringing the cash register in the form of transaction fees. And a lot of people suffered from that. So you don't want to, I don't think you want your legacy to be, well, hey, I cashed out a lot for myself, but I delivered no real benefit to anybody else in the process. And I think this is the danger of Instagram, you know, Instagram, social media, YouTube. You can become the focal point without really delivering any tangible benefit to people. And it's a weird situation that we're in, because it's almost like, you know, we're all trying to build some sort of virtual P.T. Barnum circus, where we have a three-ring circus going and we're entertaining people and they're paying their money to us, so to speak, either through eyeballs, which result in ad revenue or a Patreon donation or some sort of Cash App donation or something. And the only thing they're getting back is entertainment. Well, that's fine to some degree, but if everybody tries to clamor for that position, you know, the benefit, entertainment's not going to solve cancer. Entertainment's not going to extend the life expectancy of people. And I'm sure you could point to some study that says that, you know, hey, people that laugh more live longer, whatever. But the point is, we need to consider how our actions are benefiting people. And I would encourage you, if you're an entrepreneur, to take, you know, consider, take some inventory, so to speak, of your entrepreneurial activities and ask yourself, how is this tangibly benefiting people? And if the answer on that is not really, you know, all of my activities are not really benefiting people, then you might want to reconsider your business model. You might want to consider rearranging your business model so that your efforts are focused on actually benefiting other people, that your achievements are focused on mankind, not just accumulation for yourself. And I think we'd be wise as a society, we would be wise as individuals to consider this and to explore this concept more. And I think one of the best ways we can look at this is through reading history, reading about entrepreneurs and inventors and innovators whose achievements were directly tied to benefiting other people. They weren't just necessarily and exclusively tied to enriching their own bank accounts. And it's a relatively new phenomenon we're experiencing with the enriching of people based solely upon them accumulating for themselves. And it's in the, you know, as I said, it's in the content creator space and whatnot. So that's kind of the main idea I want to throw forward for episode 21 of Amuthonomics, is that our achievement should be tied to benefiting other people, making their lives easier, offering something that allows them to conduct business in a faster way. You know, those sorts of things. And I think the problem here, or the deterrent here, you know, I think one of the weaknesses of the free market you know, it's the judge. It's not the role of the economist to assign value judgments on people's choices. I think it's the role of the economist to study human action. And one of the shortcomings of that is that human action a lot of times will follow the path of least resistance. So if someone can make the most money by being, you know, by not delivering value to other people, then of course it follows that because humans tend to make those choices to go in the path of least resistance, that that's going to become more and more popular. And the way that I think about this a lot is, you know, the gold rush. You know, you, and not just the people, not the people who went out looking for gold. You know, that's the thing is, oh, it's a gold rush and we want to go find gold, strike gold, get a mine, make, you know, millions and millions of dollars. But the cottage industry that was set up around the gold rush, you know, the people that provided the picks and provided the pans and provided the sieves and the, you know, sorting tools and all these things. If you actually study it, they're the ones who made the money. By and large, on average, they're the ones who made the money. The people who went out looking to strike gold, the vast majority of them didn't find jack squat and ended up poor and destitute and, you know, retreating back to the East Coast or finding some other form of employment. Now, those people are free to make those decisions to go, you know, try to strike gold. But the path of least resistance was to supply the dreamers. And I think that's what we're doing in a digital virtual sense right now. We're having content creators that are supplying the dreamers with stuff that may or may not necessarily benefit anybody in the long run. So anyway, those are my two cents. And I think that it would be smart to ponder those things. Something else, just in the form of announcements, I'm working on a series for the Muthonomics IGTV channel, basically taking the Forgotten Figures episodes that I was doing on my personal YouTube channel and turning them into IGTV episodes. And I'm looking at people, specifically innovators, entrepreneurs, inventors, scientists, who achieved things that did benefit a lot of people. And like I said earlier, the first guy that has really captured my attention is this Charles Drew character, an African-American who made groundbreaking discoveries about blood transfusions. And like I said earlier, he discovered how plasma would last longer than actual blood, and that plasma could be stored and dried and then reconstituted at a later time. And how he also discovered how blood was blood. And at the time, the Red Cross segregated African-American blood from quote-unquote white blood. And he actually resigned his position as a scientist over that decision because he said, blood is blood. It doesn't matter if it comes from someone with, you know, African-American heritage or Caucasian heritage. Blood is blood. And at the time, they still were so ingrained in their kind of collective group identities that they said, no, we're going to segregate the blood. And later on, they changed their position because they realized that his science was correct. But I think what I find so fascinating about this Charles Drew guy, as I find fascinating with most people who've actually achieved things of substance, is that they continue to positively contribute in their field in the face of opposition. And I think that's another art or another discipline that is dying in today's culture. You know, if we face opposition today, the knee-jerk reaction is to try to burn the place down. Oh, so if someone opposes my views on XYZ topic, instead of continuing to work towards positive contributions in my field, we just pick up our marbles and go home, and then we encourage people to try to burn that system down that rejected us. And I think that that is incredibly immature, and it's incredibly short-sighted, because we're always going to run into opposition. And I think it's admirable. And I think it's a mark of people historically who have achieved quite significant things that they continue to work proactively and positively within a system wherein they're experiencing opposition. So I would encourage you today, as an entrepreneur, small business owner, as a student, whoever listening to this Muthonomics podcast, that when you run into opposition, don't just throw a temper tantrum and seek to burn the place down. Continue to work towards providing positive contributions and work towards earning positive achievements in that particular discipline or in that particular audience or in that particular space, even though there may be difficulties and opposition and setback. I think that if we could get our mind around that, I think we would be better off as a society as well. Because it really is immature to just say, oh, they disagree with me. Boycott them, protest. I mean, and it doesn't mean that you don't have to stand up to your principles. I mean, Mr. Drew resigned his post with the Red Cross. I mean, so he held to his beliefs and his principles that, hey, blood does not need to be segregated. That's scientifically inaccurate. So he was still able to hold to his beliefs, but he continued to move on in other arenas under, with different organizations to continue to advance positive scientific achievements and contributions and discoveries. So don't throw a temper tantrum. Don't be a baby. He was the first African American. Let me see. Where did I read this? I'm going to take a look here. Do. Got to get over the right page. I'm on the wrong page. Dude, he was only 45 when he died. He was in a car accident in Atlanta and died. Very sad. But he was, let me see, what did I read? His dad was a carpet layer. Another example of how we can fight the victim industrial complex. The problem with the victim industrial complex these days is that its currency is out-victimizing or being out-victimed. That's the currency that it operates in. Oh, well, these bad things happen to you? Well, wait till you hear my victim story. Oh, you think that's bad? Wait till you hear my victim story. And what it does when we devolve into that sort of, one-upsmanship on who's a bigger victim, it really kills the spirit and the energy to continue to achieve in the face of opposition. But his dad was a carpet layer. This Charles Drew guy, he excelled as an athlete. He played football, basketball, and other sports, track in high school, and he actually went to college on a sports scholarship. He wanted to attend medical school, but he didn't have enough money to do that, so he worked for a few years, saved up money. And a couple of years later, he applied to medical school and was enrolled at McGill University in Montreal, Canada. He quickly proved himself as a top student through academic achievements, and he won a prize in neuroanatomy and was a member of the Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Society. He graduated second in his class, earning both Doctor of Medicine and Master of Surgery degrees. And then he did his internship at the Royal Victoria Hospital and the Montreal General Hospital. His dad died. He returned to the US and he became an instructor at Howard University's medical school. And then he did his surgery residence at Freedman's Hospital in Washington, D.C. 1938, he received a Rockefeller Fellowship to study at Columbia University and train at the Presbyterian Hospital in New York City. There he continued his exploration of blood-related matters with Dr. John Scudder. Drew is the man who developed a method for processing and preserving blood plasma, or blood without cells. Plasma lasts much longer than whole blood, making it possible to be stored or banked for longer periods of time. His research served as the basis for his doctorate thesis, quote, which he entitled Banked Blood. And he received his doctorate in 1940, becoming the first African American to earn this degree from Columbia. This is in 1940, people. I mean, this is still segregated, the segregated South. This is still before, you know, what we falsely think is the panacea of the Civil Rights Act. And this man achieved. He put his head down in the face of opposition, in the face of a segregated, you know, chunk of America, although he was up in the North, Canada, New York, Washington, D.C., etc. But if you told, you know, today, if we thought, oh, what could a black man achieve in 1940 America, we'd, you know, we'd think, oh, nothing. Yet this guy, in the face of opposition and in the face of difficulty, positively contributed in his discipline, in his field of chosen study, and excelled at it. So we've got to get out of this victim industrial complex mindset, which just seeks to out be a bigger victim. I mean, he could have easily said, oh, my dad's a carpet layer. You know, what does the next guy say? Oh, your dad's a carpet layer. My dad's a sanitation worker. Oh, your dad's a sanitation worker. My dad is a sanitation worker at a carpet laying factory. Well, where does it end? And that's the problem with the victim industrial complex is it doesn't end because the most money is made at the top of the pyramid, and the top of the pyramid belongs to the biggest victim. The problem is that the top of the pyramid is always sliding because somebody can always out-victim somebody else. So there's never a de facto ruler of the top of the pyramid. It's constantly in flux. It's constantly moving. And while everybody's clamoring to be chief victim, no one's achieving. And when no one's achieving, no one else is being benefited. Well, that's really interesting. I just realized this. So the victim industrial complex seeks to achieve in the sense of being assigned the biggest victim. And this trend of achievement on Instagram is really sort of clamoring for the top of the pyramid to see who can master themselves the most. The similarity, obviously, between both areas of concentration and focus is that the individual is the focus. It's all about them. I'm either the biggest victim or I'm the biggest self-mastery person. And what gets lost in both of those paradigms is our neighbor, our fellow man, people in need, people who could actually benefit from innovation, benefit from ideas, benefit from technologies, from medical breakthroughs, etc., etc. So he created the first blood banks. He returned to Howard as a professor, heading up the university's Department of Surgery. He also became the chief surgeon at Freedman's Hospital in 1941. Later that year, he became the first African-American examiner for the American Board of Surgery. 1944, the NAACP honored Drew with its 1943 Spring Arm Medal for the highest and noblest achievement by an African-American during the preceding year or years. The award was given in recognition of Drew's blood plasma collection and distribution efforts. During the final years of his life, he remained an active and highly regarded medical professional. He continued to serve as the chief surgeon at Freedman's Hospital and a professor at Howard University. On April 1, 1950, Drew and three other physicians attended a medical conference at the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Drew was behind the wheel when his vehicle crashed near Burlington, North Carolina. His passengers survived, but Drew eventually succumbed to his injuries. He left behind his wife, Minnie, and their four children. He was only 45 years old at the time of his death. As the Reverend Jerry Moore said at Drew's funeral, quote, Drew had a life which crowds into a handful of years, significance so great, men will never be able to forget it. He's since received several posthumous honors. He was featured in the United States Postal Service's Great American Stamp Series in 1981, and his name appears on educational institutions across the country. 45 years old, focused on positively achieving to positively benefit other people in the face of opposition during a time which we would today in 2019 assign as being very counter to, very opposed to the achievements of an African-American man. So I love this guy, Charles Drew, And I think the more we can look at history and look at people who achieve in the face of opposition, the better off we are going to become as individuals. So that's Muthonomics episode 21. Don't just achieve for the sake of accumulating. Achieve for the sake of benefiting other people. And it means that it's going to go beyond just bragging about our own achievements and our own self-discipline, and it's going to necessitate that we expand. The self-discipline is simply the baseline foundation for exploring topics and interests and disciplines that will benefit other people. Our self-discipline only benefits other people in so much as we use it as a springboard to explore things that are actually worthwhile that will benefit other people. If it's just self-discipline for the sake of bragging, we've only succeeded in becoming narcissists, and narcissists don't benefit anyone other than themselves. At least in the short term. They end up harming themselves, injuring themselves, and in the story of Narcissus from the old mythology, end up dying from being so introspective. So have a wonderful day. Ponder these things. Spread these ideas. Subscribe to the podcast so you can get notified in Apple iTunes when the latest episode is available. Follow us on Instagram at instagram.com/muthonomics. And leave questions, comments, feedback, whatever on the Instagram comments, and happy to respond. Have a great day. Bye.